submit. You gotta submit. Gotta submit.
Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
You gotta submit. You gotta submit.
Okay, welcome this week's guest on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. A fellow that reached out to me online, I guess, I don't know where he saw my contact at, or did I reach out to him prior and he finally got back to me. He's Mr. Richard Blank. What's up, buddy?
I'm so happy to be with you and your audience today. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, how's it going, man? I can't remember if I reached out to you through one of these services or you just found me somewhere and then reached out to me. How did that happen?
It's just one of those things where you're everywhere on the internet, so it's easy to find you. And the fact that I think I made the first introduction, but I caught your attention, and
yeah.
Here we are.
But I think I've seen you on one of these podcasts, with a guest and the host. We looking for different each other. Yeah. So I couldn't remember. I'm always reaching out different spots, so I can't remember who I reached out to and when. I just reach. Some respond back and then some don't. So I wasn't sure of which one of those was you. But anyway, we're here now.
That's right.
What's the story of Richard Blank?
Well, the story of Richard Blank is pura vida. I'm currently residing in Costa Rica. Been here for 24 years, but I'm a long shot. It actually hit. I'm originally from Northeast Philly. Decided to make Spanish my major in college in Arizona. And then when I had a 1 in a million opportunity in the year 2000 to move here, I took it. And it's been a good run ever since.
What was the opportunity?
Well, a friend of mine from college actually owned a call center here in Central America in Costa Rica. And so he knew that I was in between jobs. I'm going to actually date myself. I was sending out resumes through a fax machine. That's what I was doing at the time, trying to get hired to maybe get a job in Tempe selling something. And so my cousin said, hey, Richie, why don't you come to Costa Rica for a couple months, let off some steam, you're fluent, teach some English at my friend's call center, and maybe recharge your batteries. Well, the moment I walked off the plane, I knew this was something that was very special. I fell in love with the girl of my dreams, married today, built the business together. But when I first got there at 27, you're not like on a tour with school or with your parents. You're a young adult now, and you have the scars and the experiences. And you do realize from time to time that you are given something that is so unique that if you don't open your eyes and embrace it, you might lose it. And so, yeah, I had to get past some parents' guilt and make some selfish decisions. But at the end of the day, I realized I wanted to make my roots here and put my hat in the ring and see what could happen. And little did I know that the sun was shining on me. And it's incredible. It's not for everybody, but if you have some sort of vigor and you are a little bit crazy, you know, dancing in the rain crazy, not like knife welding, but you really want to live life and drink it, then I think you should pursue some sort of hobby, dream, or just thought and see where it goes. And that's why I'm here today to tell my tall tale.
The tall tale of Richard Blank. So we don't want a blank slate. We want the whole story. So what's the one thing you want us to know for is the call center thing, or you got some other stuff you want to go start off with before that?
Maybe we can shatter some misconceptions.
Yeah.
Because you see things in Hollywood of the Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room, and these are extremely talented artists of speech with incredible rhetoric. They could use that for good or evil. But the thing is, though, it is a means to an end. Today, most people, and I'll make this argument, which will be interesting, AI is very beneficial in my industry. It does reduce staff. It helps us gather information, save time. But in order to get that ball into the end zone, you need that personal touch.
Right.
You need that hand holding. You need that sincere empathy. So we still insist to our clients to keep a very select choice department in order to retain a client, get an upsell referral, or if they happen to be leaving, you might get some advice from them on an exit interview. But my industry is a beautiful thing. I mean, today most people prefer non-voice, where they'll chat or send an email or a text. But this younger generation who have such skills, but in some areas may be lacking in regards to face-to-face communication, soft skills, when to do turn-taking, show active listening, transitional sentences, you know, certain things in order to be diplomatic and strategic to actually have a real conversation and be memorable. And so I need to almost start from scratch with them, like a squire to a knight, clean slate. Mm-hmm. And as long as they can take some sort of balancing suggestions, not constructive criticism, because some of them are delicate.
Oh, yeah.
If I can slice it by levels, we might be able to get some checkpoints. And so, you know, we're native speakers. I'm here where English is their second language. So for me, it's like wiffle ball. Of course, I'm a teacher of English. I'm from Philly. But you and I do things with a certain amount of cleverness and style to put some color on it. So it's not black and white and bland. I like paintings compared to prints.
Right.
And through the art of speech, which you do on your podcast and in your career, it can travel. It's the spoken word can be memorable and really give somebody that sort of energy when they need it most, when they think about a compliment that you gave to somebody.
Yeah, words are powerful, so I try to choose them wisely, especially when I'm talking to somebody.
Mostly, yeah, don't curse in case your mom's listening.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, that and the kids, moms, and then future generations, you know, this recording is going to be way long after I'm gone. So I wanted to be impactful and still inspirational.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Well, it might be dated, like a suit, but hopefully wisdom continues.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah, some words are timeless and some phrases are just forever, and it works through all time.
I tell you what I did learn, though, being a CEO and a guest in another country. If we do it the old school way, where we call the balls and the strikes, you know, and we can be straight shooters, and I have the luxury of my technology. So we're listening to phone calls. So it's really you hearing you. It's a phonetic mirror. And so they know when they miss their mark. Their timing was off. There was crosstalk interruption. They were too loud, too soft, too fast, or too slow. It needs to be perfect. It's almost a mirror imaging technique, so you can flow with the person with whom you're speaking. And we do replace words. I emphasize a thesaurus. So we will replace a word like help with assist, guide, and lend a hand to adjust a tone and keep it positive. Never excuse me, I'll fall on that sword. And I'll say for my clarification, was it ABC or 1, 2, 3? And then finally, my last bit of 101 advice is to use the military alphabet when getting email addresses or trying to pronounce last names. So things don't bounce back. And there's a lot of people that have served in the military.
Yeah,
so
myself.
Instead of the call ending, you have a couple more minutes of bonding. And that's the sort of things that work for you.
I did 4 years in the Air Force, way back.
Yeah.
I don't remember everything, though.
Well, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
I lived in Colorado Springs right by the Air Force Academy. That was cool.
I served in between 86 and 90, way back, right out of high school. So.
And what did you do in the Air Force?
Aircraft maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just check them out, make sure they can get up in the air and stay up in the air.
Very important.
Yeah. And
I consider that chivalry, like the knights of today. It's really honor you're fighting for, diplomacy and freedom. And so let's just say I was pitching you, trying to set up an appointment for a client. I put this script away. Now we're talking about the 4 years you served right out of high school, Air Force. How interesting. You know, the maintenance part. I would have asked you 50 more questions. And taking the notes. So when I do the meeting minutes, it's right in there. Oh, by the way, when Judy transferred me over to you, of course, I'm going to compliment her verbally and in writing. So when I call your company back for that follow-up meeting, I get a hero's welcome. So don't ever forget the positive escalation when people assist you along the way. Do it verbally in writing, because that's how you build a solid pipeline.
That's some science. Some the method to the madness, huh? The science behind it.
Well, guess what, my friend? And you gave your word. You do not compromise your ethics, values. That I did not teach you to lie. But if somebody is there along the way, why don't you remember their name? You might get extra pickles on your burger. Talk about Judy and Betty. Come on, and let them know to their face how amazing they are. And then let Mr. Jones know that when you get transferred, prior to even introducing yourself, it's going to take their ego defense from a 10 to about a 6. So instead of saying, we're good, thanks, is this a sales call? Or, no, thank you. You're going to say, who's this? That's a positive reinforcement. It's a positive one instead of hanging up on me. And so I'll introduce myself. We call it a buffer boomerang technique. I'll name drop you. I'll go, hey, Nate, that's an excellent question. The name of my company is Costa Rica's Call Center. Just keep readjusting tones, lower it and move it forward. And it's just checkpoints, my man. It's not a 10-minute phone call. It's 20, 30 second.
Pretty much building a relationship, huh?
Ethically, yes, and sincerely, and you do it slowly. You, instead of going horizontal, sometimes you go vertical and you start asking follow-up questions like you and I did regarding our backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, before the call center, what were you doing? Just trying to figure out your way in life, or you know, jobs here and there, or what?
I was kind of lost, but still found. I could smell it, just couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in college, I interned for Telemundo. So at least I was able to do promotions and public relations, see what it's like to be in a working environment, and also try to mature because I was still young and crazy. And then post-grad, I got the job with the importers of Corona beer. Mm-hmm. And I also was trying to sell telecom in Scottsdale to the Latino market in Spanish. I was working for a company called Frontier Communications. And so these were jobs that were confidence building. You had to prospect the old school way, where you would show up to like a industrial complex or commercial center and just knock on doors like in the 1960s selling encyclopedias.
Oh my goodness.
And so you kind of had to have an angle. What angle am I going to have? It's not my company. I'm just there in a suit with a smile. And I used to have hair. And so I said, instead of just going for the Hail Mary long bombs, why don't we go for some first downs and some solid first downs? And if I could make an alliance with an individual that works there, mm-hmm. and show genuine interest in what's around, I might be able to buy some time. And so these are just nice soft skills that you learn. It's just being observant, my man. And so these are the sort of jobs that I had prior to Costa Rica. I was building on momentum, practicing Spanish, getting my ROI on it. And whenever I met people in the Latino community, they were adding to it in regards to vocabulary, grammar, or just encouragement not to stop. Mm-hmm. And so, as I mentioned before, when that barn door became open and I had a chance to come to Costa Rica, you knew that it was your time. And, it's just one of those ways to shed some skin. But yeah, man, that's what I was doing prior to that. But yeah, growing up in Philly, you always did your little bit of hustles. Like when you sold candy bars for your little league, or, you know, you did some other things. You were a waiter on Delaware Avenue, which was some incredible summers. Were you ever in Philadelphia?
No, never been there yet.
There's a place called Delaware Avenue. It's right on the water and it's right downtown. And, you know, I was from the suburbs, but I would get a job at the first place was Rock Lobster, like the fancy dancy preppy place. Yo, man, they fired me for cutting a piece of cheesecake too big. You know what a trapezoid is, right? It was crazy. But listen, it's Nate and his girlfriend. Let's hook them up. But no, I got fired. And so Frankie, who was sitting at the bar, goes, Richie, come over here. I'm going to hire you at the Aztec Club in Kokomo Bay. It was a combo joint. From a hardcore Philly discotheque to like some waterfall tropical scene in the middle of Philadelphia. And those were the best two summers of my entire life. You had to go around and literally meet 100 people a night and get them a drink. So you mastered the introduction. You started doing muscle memory for names or for orders and stuff. And it wasn't like some sort of thing where you're just hustling a table. That's boring. I was really working rooms. And so what fun jobs you could have. In ways that are so interpersonal and interactive before the cell phone. And so I was doing this in the summer of 93 and 94, the best. And so that's what your buddy was doing back in the day, just honing those skills and feeling good about myself. So when it was time to represent our country somewhere else in the world, maybe we could do it in the best light.
Yeah, we need all the good representation everywhere in the world now.
I guess.
See, yes. Hey, so Rich, on the muscle memory of memory names, because sometimes I have problems. I know faces, but sometimes the names slip me. Is there a certain technique you use to remember names?
Yeah, you got to triple drop it real quick, or you're not going to remember it.
Say it three times in your head.
First, but I say, Nate, great meeting you, Nate. Da da da, Nate.
Okay,
don't do it for 10 minutes. It's annoying. Start extending personal pronouns by saying your and our and mine. We give those quarter second slides for emphasis. But now, when you do a tie down question, yo, Nate, does that make sense? Hey, sounds good, right, Nate? Thursday night, let's go to the movies. And so, when you do it 4 or 5 times, it's good, and then give the nickname. You know. Nate, my man, you know, you really start hitting it. And that's what you do. It's not easy, but I tell you what, it's a way. And you can't be expected to do it any other way. I was the kind of guy that needed flashcards, or by the fifth time I got it.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I'm grabbing in the beginning, anchoring in the beginning, confirming in the beginning, a lot of quickies, just working the body real quick, marinating it. Then you can anchor it. You know, you brought up an excellent point. You want to know a great tell sign when you're selling or some sort of communication?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the beginning, I understand it's the introduction. And in the conclusion, you're exchanging information for the follow-up. But if somebody remembers your name in the body of a call, like, you know, we're 5 minutes in, you're like, hey, Richard, let me ask you another question. I'm like, damn, the guy actually remembers me. And so I give the most points for that. When I do my QA, my quality control, and people are like, well, what about the sales or repeating the information or the closing and the rebuttals? I go, no, that doesn't count. I go, if you can have that straight line with somebody where they're name dropping each other, you know, that's the A+. You know, now you're really good. You're worrying about fumbling a football? What are you talking about? It's yours. And so if people can get that sort of higher level of connection, then they're not going to feel the sort of pressure that they do when they walk into a sales meeting. Like if you ever watch the movies, really watch the movies. I'll even date one, the Glengarry Glen Ross. The majority of them were in the sales room getting yelled at by Blake on a rainy night before getting fired. That's where the coffee for closers comes from. Yeah, but where's Ricky Romano? You know, where's Al Pacino? Dude, he's at the bar talking to some guy, closing the deal his way. It didn't have to be over the phone pretending or pushing a meeting. The guy was investing that extra half an hour to have a burger and a beer with someone, let him cry on his shoulder. And that's the sort of connection that you get. And that's how you get referrals. And that's how you can look at yourself at the end of the day and know that you earned a dollar the nice way. And if these sales movies, the top salesperson gets that 4 or 5 anchors with them, or they look on the wall and they see something that they can relate to, that's real. You know, my favorite technique?
What's that?
So I'm calling your house, right? And all of a sudden I hear a dog barking in the background. The next thing I'm going to do is continue pitching. I'm going to stop and go, yo, Nate, I love dogs too. What's the name of your dog? His name is Champ. Really? What breed is he? He's a German Shepherd. How old is your puppy? Puppy? Ha, ha, ha. He's 14. I'm like, yeah. And so, you know, I'm going to be asking about it on the next call. We're talking about dogs for a couple minutes. And if you think that that mass from defense goes down, then where is it supposed to go? It's got to move somewhere. Mm-hmm. Down goes outward. You just got some, like an old medieval battles. Now you got the longbow. You know, that changes battle. You got distance and strength, and you're doing it through rhetoric and through real sincere connection. Everyone loves dogs and ice cream and bikes and sunny days in California. I mean, come on. Will you stop selling for a minute and be real?
Right.
And if you can do that, the room will feel that and people will see, man, this guy's really is connected. You know, it's not an act anymore. You're reacting. And if you can do that, you might have longevity in this business.
Yes. I see you got it down to a science. It seems easy for you because you've been practicing all pretty much all your life. Huh?
Like the piano when your parents forced you. Well, hey, let me ask you a question. We're about the same age. You remember the show The A-Team?
Yeah, A-Team.
You remember the face man?
Which one is that?
Well, you had Hannibal, you had Murdoch, you had Mr. TBA, and you had the face man, Dirk Benedict, Templeton Fagg. See, I gravitated towards that sort of character. Mr. T could throw someone through the window, but, you know, the face man got you in the door. And then another show was Remington Steele with Pierce Brosnan, and that just showed clever rhetoric. So it didn't have to be the strength. It could be the tongue that really, like today with Eminem, 8 Mile, if you do a rap battle and someone out-raps you, you might not have any comeback. And so I like clever speech, and I like when you didn't have to use profanity. Right. And you didn't have to insult somebody. You just gave the strongest argument possible where the majority of the people looked, pondered, and agreed with you. Not through arrogance, through enlightenment, you know? And so, yes.
And kill them with kindness, huh?
I hope so. With lucidity, so at least they can see it on their end, and you can put yourself in their shoes. That's a great point.
Cool. So on the call center, what are you guys actually marketing or doing?
Guess what we don't do?
What you don't do?
I don't do sports books, casinos, stocks, pharmacies, or sweepstakes. As much as you want me to, I'm going to turn it down. I got to live in a strict Catholic country. I got to make sure people can go home and tell their mamas what they do for a living. But we're half and half. Half of my company does outbound lead generation, appointment setting, and sales. And then the other half does back office support and customer support. We're on our 17th year. Can you believe that? In a competitive industry, about 150 strong. But, you know, it's interesting. My industry has one of the highest attrition rates, up to 300%. Now, listen, I'll lose somebody because a scheduling conflict. Maybe your best friend or girlfriend works at another call center. They might even pay you more money. But I tell you what, you and I would never give them the walk of shame. Make them cry on the floor, or just pick them up and throw them out. We don't do things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I do know this, that when people are with me, they played pinball with me downstairs. I invested in their career. I had an active participation in some of their structure. And it's paying it forward. Some last a day, some last 10 years. But you and I are the old wise ones now. We can't take it personal. People are on their own paths. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people start strong. They give you the bells and the whistles. But then when they leave, they don't even give you a 2 weeks notice. You're like, yo. But listen, that's the price that you pay if you want to be a CEO of a company. But the one thing you can't do is be very hard on yourself. There are things that happen outside of the office that could affect work performance, and you just have no idea. And so, you know, just show character during chaos, call your clients, give them no surprises, have a game plan. They'll respect you more for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, from time to time, beer spill. What are you going to do?
Get another one.
On me. You know, I got you, buddy. But yeah, I hear you. You got to laugh at it from time to time and do the right thing. Do the ethical thing.
Yep.
And I like certain things like that.
Treat them like you want to be treated.
Long-term relationships, yes. I'm just looking to make a quick dollar. Yeah. You know, people don't care.
What's that saying? It goes, people don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. Am I saying that right?
You know, it does make sense, and it relates to most. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes people will call me and I don't blame them. The first question is, besides even my name, what's your price? Then I go $100 an hour. I go, no, it's not. I go, I know it's not. I go, what is your name? So at least we can start normal. Come on, Billy, ask me a real question on merit. Because if you're just going on price, then you can go offshore to the East or to India and the Philippines.
Right.
But if you're looking for caliber, if you and I can offset that $1 or $2 an hour through our coaching, our environment, our nurturing, then it makes sense. Uh-huh. They play in the big leagues. But if you're looking to carpet bomb the phone and these lists, then just hire, you know, these grunts to go out there and be expendable like they used to do in the trenches and blow those whistles and running right into the machine guns. I don't like that stuff. I prefer to be an archer, so it's silent. And I'm in the woods, kinda like, and I can do a couple of shots and run away and just keep you guessing. I think there's got to be strategy. There shouldn't be sacrifice, you know, and that's the sort of thing, because this is the morale of the individual making the phone call. You got to make sure that they get something out of it, or por lo menos, because if they can't have a romantic death, if they can't jump a cloud mm-hmm. and land these 30-second introductions, how do you expect them to make 200 calls a day? So just do not put them out there like that. You should have been in their shoes to see what it's like to make these calls and sit in these cubicles. And so I know what to say and I know when to say it. But guess what? There's already been 10 preventative measures before even getting to that point. Preparation. And so I respect what you have done and the level of what you have learned and the men and women that surrounded you, the best in the world. So of course it elevates you. You're around winners. And so I am trying to at least get the best of someone. If I can put one or two more points in them to get them from a 7 to a 9 or even a 6 to an 8, come mm-hmm. on, I'm still a good teacher. You know, I can't do everything.
Right.
And, but that's what we do, my man. And I just do it through speech and composure, and balance and structure. That's what we do.
Unlock the full potential of your health journey with a membership at joinnatenow.com. This is your gateway to affordable, high-quality supplements that are essential for maintaining and enhancing your well-being. Not only will you gain access to these exceptional products, but you'll also have the chance to earn extra income by sharing the benefits of membership with others. Whether you're passionate about your own wellness or eager to create a side hustle, joinnatenow.com is the perfect platform to achieve both. Take control of your health and finances today. Join us now at joinnatenow.com. That's joinnatenow.com.
So with all that information, do you have a book out yet?
No, but the first book I'm going to write is a children's book that revolves around Rube Goldberg experiments and mini golf. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Well, it's got to be fun on a rainy Sunday. You got to have it.
Yeah. So any advice you want to give people looking in the call center?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's not what you see in the movies. Script writing is not easy. Just make sure your list is good and updated. And if you can find some gems where if you are capable of doing some due diligence prior to an email, a voicemail, or a phone call, you could potentially custom make it. So it will at least separate you from others and give you more of a chance for attention. And once again, on the sides, if you can chip away at those that have assisted you, secretaries, gatekeepers, anybody that you see during the network or downline of that company, that these are areas. And, you know, most people get 1,000 texts a day. They might get 100 emails a day. How many phone calls do they really get a day? So if you're willing to do the complete opposite of what it used to be 20 years ago, you will separate yourself. Just learn the boundaries of people and just try to make it really hot in the beginning. My suggestion is to use a company name spike. It's just using your anonymity in the first 3 seconds. I could say the name of the company better than the person answering the phone. Don't do that the whole call because that's, you know, shady being anonymous. But instead of asking to speak to you or saying a stuttering good morning or confirming, is this the place that we're calling? You're just thrown into the rest. You're not even giving yourself half decent odds. So if you can at least say the name of the place with such enthusiasm and life, I've seen in my own experience that your metrics will increase in regards to that positive reinforcement. People will give you a positive tone. Ask who you are, or in a nice way, or even introduce themselves, which then you take the name and you continue. And so it's a wonderful foundation. Oh, and you know, if you have the luxury of time, and let's say it's a face-to-face communication at, let's say, a wedding, a dinner, Thanksgiving, listen. And if you have the ability to sleep on it, write a draft, not send it, and come back the next day, don't be surprised if 9 out of 10 times you might be apologizing, or you'll shave some fat and get right to what's important, and you'll save that relationship. Unless there's a major sense of urgency, I try to ask for a little bit of time, because if you're hammering me, it's not going to work. Because you're probably going to get the F you Philly out of me, or I'm rushing and I didn't get to speak to Nate and my boys to find out plan B. And the next thing you know, it's not a perfect fit. And so I think that has to do with impulse control. And I keep mentioning maturity because I'm still immature. I collect pinball machines and jukeboxes and stuff. But my man, I try to do the right thing at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I think that's the best decision.
So where could they reach you if they need your services?
Yeah, they can buy a first class plane ticket and come fly down and visit me.
Play pinball.
Yeah, just to let your audience know, I'm north of Panama, south of Nicaragua, and Costa Rica is the only democratic society in Central America. There's no standing army here, so they put all their money back into education. They have a 95% literacy rate, the most neutral English accents. Companies such as Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle, they're here. We're known for ecotourism. We've got some of the best surfing in the world, medical tourism, and we're on mountain time zones. So we're right there. And, you know, I can't thank you enough, but I do have a huge Facebook fan page, about 140,000 local Costa Rican ticos. And so when this goes live, you have a lot more fans. But yeah, it'll give your audience a chance to see the BPO industry. For some people, it is a means to an end. Mm-hmm. I'm more than willing to run through a script with anybody in your audience. Just let them know that they're Nate's buddy, and I'm not going to charge you. Free of charge. I'll definitely look at your script and do some role play and give you some advice. But, you know, don't count it out. These are the sort of soft skills besides telemarketing, which has a bad rap. You make friends. You know, you could really feel good about yourself in social situations, and you never know where it could lead you.
Okay, Richard. So this is the part of the show where I ask my guests to leave some positive life nuggets. You got some?
Of course I do. You got to get past your parents' guilt, because a lot of people may be put in some sort of box where there's scholastic, cultural traditions that you have to follow. Some people even force you to marry somebody. Mm. And so if you break away from that, just make sure that the decision you make, you got to go all the way. And instead of going into law or finance or real estate, which my family had done and they've gone to Ivy League, I decided to go to the University of Arizona, which was not Ivy League, and be a Spanish major. And my argument was my great-grandfather that came to the United States at the turn of the 20th from Eastern Europe. He learned English, made his money during the Depression. So I go, imagine a great-grandpa didn't come and his parents were grilling him. He wouldn't even be here. And so I go, it's in our blood. And so if you have this sort of calling, something that's inside of you that you can't regret for the rest of your life, you might not want to put 20 years into it. Myself, I'm on my 25th. But you got to at least taste it to see, because then you could live with yourself. And that's my only advice to you and your amazing audience. And as I say, I can't thank you enough. I love your show. And it was a really great time being a guest here today.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, dropping all that heavy metal on us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is stuff the average person don't think about when they think about the call centers, or, you know, the science behind getting people to get your services or products.
But, you know, it is quite amazing, our technology. You put someone on a predictive dialer, they can make up to 600 phone calls a day. You have multiple lines simultaneously dialing, so it avoids any sort of IVRs, voicemails, faxes. So their talk time, it's like a batting cage. Unless you've worked up to it, you can't do it. And then with these lists that are loaded for you, the information's ready to go. There's sometimes drop downs. And so if you can catch a pace, it is an amazing way to gather information in such a raw, beautiful way. And as I say, anybody that learns a second language bears the mark of higher education. And if they have a slight accent, mm-hmm. it's like a beauty mark. You remember Ricardo Montalban from Fantasy Island? That was the smoothest cat in town. And so I'm the reverse. I got like the Philly Spanish accent. And so they kind of look at me twice and they go, that's interesting, you know? So yeah, it works.
Cool. That's cool, 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 cool. So is a certain website they can check out your stuff?
Yeah, that CostaRicasCallCenter.com just to see all the services. But, you know, the most important thing is that Facebook fan page because it, you get to really see what's happening in Costa Rica, all the fun stuff and craziness. But if anybody that has worked in a call center, if you have the skills, just make sure that you're in an environment that you feel good about yourself. Do not sell your soul for that dollar. It's not worth it. And if you're able to retain a client for a company, I think that's incredible. And if people call and specifically ask for you, that's amazing. And if someone tells your supervisor how great you are, has more than enough water to get through those deserts.
Time for a pay raise.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Rich. We want to thank you for coming on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
I had a great time today, and I hope I was able to share some great information.
You heard it exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Richard Blank, CEO of Costa Rica's Call Center, and I am a super proud guest on the Nathaniel Noble Jr.'s podcast. Come check me out on my Facebook page or just come to Costa Rica and definitely see the land of Pura Vida.
Gotta submit. You gotta submit. Gotta submit.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
You gotta submit. You gotta submit.